Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. Standing when we're talking about our free country. Well, praise the Lord. Well, we have on the back screen here a picture of the Declaration. If we get my PowerPoint up, we're going to see it on the side screens as well. And we talk about the 4th of July. A lot of people, they understand that it's the birth of our nation, but they don't understand why it's Independence Day. Well, it's Independence Day because of the Declaration of Independence. Now, I'm in a series here on the new normal. So what I intend to help you understand today, as believers, as Christians, after the pandemic, the new normal for believers is we are people that are making a declaration of independence against the spirit of this world and everything that comes with it. Now, this is going to be something to get excited about, because the fact is, I'm going to show you how we are citizens of heaven. And with citizenship in this country, there comes rights and privileges. Well, with citizenship in heaven, in the kingdom of God, there's rights and privileges too. And you know what? You know there's no sickness in heaven. There's no division, no depression in heaven. It's unauthorized there. And so if you can walk with an understanding of that kind of authority in your life and make that declaration to be independent from that part of this earthly realm, then you can stay to sickness when it comes into your body. Sickness, you're unauthorized here. I have the kingdom of God inside of me. Heaven is in my heart. There's no authorization for sickness here. So the Declaration of Independence was actually a declaration made for us to be separate from British rule. And this second paragraph of the Declaration is what we're most familiar with. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. And among these are, say it with me, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Now, what this is supposed to mean is freedom comes from God. Doesn't come from our government. Unalienable rights that endowed by our Creator. Well, that's actually the second paragraph of the Declaration. The first words and the first line, the first paragraph, it reads this way. When in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands that have connected them with another. In other words, and I'm going to say this first person for us, I believe in the life of every Christian right now, we are living in a time where it's become necessary for us to make a declaration. Back in 1776, almost 250 years ago, that declaration was to separate the colonies or America from British rule. They said, it's come to the point where we can no longer, in our convictions and in good conscience, continue to be in partnership with the tyranny that we're receiving from Britain, from Great Britain. And so we're making this declaration. Well, I believe Christians have to come to that point. I tell you what, the world and the darkness in this world is trying to cancel out Christianity, tried to close the church, tried to close the mouths of the church. I mean, even in our country, instructing some churches no longer allowed to worship. Hello. No longer allowed to chant. You can come to church, but don't praise and worship. What? Not on my watch. Not in America. No. We're going to go down fighting if that ever comes up. I'll guarantee you. But the point is, I believe, church, that understanding that this declaration that started this God-fearing free country You know, it's important for us to make the spiritual correlation with our own lives. But what do I know about the Declaration? Bill Kerfey, my brother-in-law, is an attorney. He's a historian. He's always schooling me on documents like this. So school me today. School all of us a little bit. The Declaration of Independence.
You know, I'm reminded just when we were doing the Pledge of Allegiance. When I was a little kid, I always wondered who Richard Stans was, because we pledged allegiance to the Republic and Richard Stans. I kept wondering, who's that guy? Anyway, you know, but the other thing it reminded me, too, we always, when I went to public school in Ohio, we said the Pledge of Allegiance every morning and the Lord's Prayer every morning.
We did, too.
And we had a Jewish lady came in 1 hour a week and taught the Bible to us. This is public school. Anyway, we've kind of lost all that. Remember, this all begins, the country sort of begins, you can go back to the 1400s, when Henry VIII wants to get a divorce, and the Catholic Church says you can't, and he starts the Anglican Church. That starts all the wars in Europe, between the Protestants and the Catholics and the Reformation and all this stuff going back and forth, until finally a group of people said, enough.
Enough.
We're going over to that new world, and we're going to start something where we have religious freedom over there.
Yes.
And that's where we all began. And, you know, Joanne and I recently were up in Jamestown and Yorktown, and I didn't realize, I suppose I should have known this as a historian. You know, of course, Jamestown, we all know that's where the first British subjects come. And Yorktown is where they're defeated by Washington. They're right next to each other. It's kind of interesting. It's where they came and where they got kicked out, almost right next to each other. Anyway, I keep digressing. So these 56 men come together in Philadelphia to write this Declaration of Independence. And they are college-educated men at a time when most of the country is illiterate. And a college education at the time included religious training. Harvard was called the Harvard Theological Seminary. Yale was called the Yale School of Divinity. And this is where these guys got their education. They were steeped in religion at the time. Harvard, I think, has kind of lost that. I'm not sure. But So they're invoking God throughout, and it's not only in the beginning in this one, but throughout the Declaration of Independence, they're invoking God. And at the end, they state at the end, in firm reliance on the protection of our divine providence, we mutually pledge our lives, our fortune, and our sacred honor. And they did, because keep in mind, they had no army, they had no navy, they had no money. These guys pledged their own money to fight for freedom, to fight from the British rule. And against the most powerful country in the world at the time, the most powerful navy, the most powerful army in the world. And these guys pledge. And remember, when they say their lives, if they got caught, they were going to get hung, every one of them. They were traitors at the time. Only one guy signs it at the time, on July 4th, 1776. One guy, John Hancock. He puts his name very boldly at the bottom. Put your John Hancock here. Okay, I will. The rest of the guys don't sign it until August. One guy doesn't sign it until November. But they write very small and almost scribble their names because they're hoping maybe that the king won't figure out who they are. Joanne and I had gone to a conference in Washington, D.C. by the wall builders. And if you ever get a chance to tour the Capitol, I don't think anybody's going to get a chance to tour the Capitol anymore. But the Capitol, they gave us a Christian tour of the Capitol. And the Capitol is full of Christian symbols everywhere. The House of Representatives, when the speaker's up there, any speaker, including Nancy, she's looking right at a picture, a bust, of Moses.
Moses, yeah, the lawgiver.
It's right over the entrance to the House of Representatives is Moses, the lawgiver. And it's to remind those people in there, you're lawgivers, but keep in mind the first lawgiver and the principles upon which this country
Amen.
Was founded.
Amen. Hallelujah. So the whole Declaration of Independence, it's giving the reasons and the causes why this separation is necessary. I want to give you today some reasons and causes why we have to, on a daily basis, if necessary, make a declaration of independence from the world, from the devil, from darkness. Because I tell you what, there's becoming a greater separation between the two. And I want us to know who we are and be able to walk in that authority. So life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Well, Jesus said, there's a thief in the world that comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but I have come that you might have life and have life more abundantly. So, you know, God is the life giver. And I'll tell you, there's no true independence until you find dependence on God. That's where true independence comes from. Amen? So Jesus said these words in John 8:36, if the Son, capital S, the Son of God sets you free, then you're free indeed. You know, because in this nation of freedom, isn't it crazy that we have an epidemic of people wanting to suicide, take their lives? That's crazy. With all the freedoms, all the prosperity, why would people be suicidal? Well, because there's something in the side of a man, there's a bent towards evil that the enemy of your soul, the devil himself, is free to operate at a certain level. But I'm here to tell you today that as born-again, spirit-filled believers, we have authority over all the power of the enemy. Amen. Amen. That'd be a good place to applaud. And I'm going to show you, I want to build the case for the fact that we have the rights and privileges of being not only members of God's household, but citizens of God's country. And citizenship gives you certain authorities and rights. So we're going to talk a little bit about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God. Now, you hear me talk a lot about the kingdom of God here, and I just want you to understand that that doesn't diminish the work of the cross. Jesus did the work on the cross. But that's history. That's his story. That's Christ's story. We know that. After the cross, after salvation, I want you to know that God intends for you to rule and reign. That's why the crown is the symbol for the kingdom of God, to rule and reign. Not to rule and reign over your spouse. I had to point that out. Not to rule and reign over people, but to rule and reign over sin, over sickness, over evil, the evil that's at work in the world today. Listen, God's original plan for mankind was to influence earth with the culture of heaven. To influence earth with the culture of heaven. Keep in mind, the only prayer that Jesus taught us to pray was, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth or in earth as it is in heaven. That's the plan and the purpose of God. So I want to help you understand a little bit about the kingdom of God and how to make that declaration of independence from the spirit of this world and fight spiritually for your freedom. I like to put this picture up. You know I do. I want you to see yourself this way. Not only do you have Christ in your heart, so you've got this light living inside of you. Thank God for that, because that gives you the source of your powers right there, that close, gives you the ability to fight, spiritually speaking. But I want you to see yourself also with this light force around you. Now, this light force can protect you, and we thank God for that force shield around us. But what I want more in this day for us to see is that everywhere we go, we are the light of the world. When you get close to somebody, especially if you get so close that they're in your light, then look out. The Holy Spirit in you makes you irresistible. It makes you cool if you've got to be cool. It makes them hear what you're saying in their own language. Makes you relevant. And that's the purpose and plan of God, is that we become the light of the world. And as the world gets darker and more chaotic and more confused, people are looking for that kind of a person, that kind of a light, somebody that will offer prayer. You know, I'm so blessed that we had a team that went to Surfside, and Bruce and Billy, thank you. You handed me the statistics of people you prayed for and everything over there, the numbers, and I left it on my seat. But you know what? When there's a storm or there's a crisis, a disaster, that's the best place for the light to show up, is in the midst of that fire, you know, because people are looking for Jesus. Remember that King Nebuchadnezzar, he even recognized that the fourth man in the fire, he said, that looks like the Son of God. Well, that'll wake up that dark, death-giving spirit in you. You know, if you can see with eyes in the midst of a storm and see Jesus, this is our greatest hour to be alive. And that's why I say the new normal for the church is to rise up and allow yourself to be seen. Rise up and know that you've got the power of God within you. Jesus said this about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is not something you can see with your natural eyes. Neither shall you say it's lo there or here or there. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you. So let's make that point. They prayed in Surfside with 46 people, 35 salvations. I'm talking one-on-one on the streets. God miraculously opened the doors for them to get into this secure area that was shut down to everybody, just like God. It's just like God, where somebody said, you know, what are you doing out here? Why don't you have a badge? You're supposed to be in there praying for people, you know? And so somebody made that possible, and in they go, right up next to the pile, praying for people, seeing people saved. Come on, somebody. That's what God's doing in this hour. You cannot do church as usual. I remember after 9/11, I was watching TV and I heard Mayor Giuliani addressing a whole group of pastors in Manhattan, and he was saying, we got a crisis here. Do not do business as usual. I need a clerical presence in this city. And I'll tell you what, I think it went over most of the preachers' heads. Do we know how to get out of business as usual and deal with a crisis? We got to learn, because it's the greatest opportunity for God is if we see ourselves for such a time as this, like Esther, I'm here for such a time as this. Yeah, the world's getting darker, but the church, the true church of Jesus Christ, is getting stronger, walking in greater authority, able to pray the sick to be healed, to raise the dead. Isn't that what Jesus said? These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, you shall cast out devils. Hallelujah. Oh, you're getting me going here. Okay, the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. By the way, the T-shirts, they were giving out T-shirts with Jesus on them there at Surfside. Six Jews received Jesus. So a lot of Jewish community there. Prayed with 10 police officers and 10 firemen rescuers and 6 news people. And we made the news, by the way. They're looking for somebody to take pictures of. Why not take pictures of people praying for people? That's what they're asking for, is prayer. They say, we got everything else that we need. Just pray. I'm hearing CNN newscasters say that. We just need prayer. We just need prayer. I'm going, okay, enter the church. Amen. That's where we come in. So I want you to understand, the kingdom of God is heaven's influence on earth. The kingdom of God is the community of God on earth. That's us. The kingdom of God is God's culture, God's language, God's lifestyle, God's values, God's morals operating in and on the earth today. You know, let's not get caught up on worrying about, you know, living and recognizing our culture. We all come from different nations and different backgrounds. We come from different denominations. But the thing that unites us is we are all members of God's country, God's kingdom, and we all join together in God's culture, His language, His lifestyle, His values and morals. It's a domain of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And that's why if you believe you've got that light in your heart, you can sing, oh, heaven is in my heart. Oh, heaven is in my heart. The kingdom of our God is here. And I don't know the rest. But we got to know. And we got to make that declaration of independence. We are in the world, but not of the world. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds. We got to change that earthly mentality for a spiritual mentality. Okay, let me give you some further information from the Word of God. Ephesians 2:19 says, we have membership in God's family, no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household. I'm putting up on the screen here, Luke 15, verse 11, the story of the prodigal son as we know it. It's really the story of two sons. I'm bringing it to your attention today because this story is about two sons. One strayed, called him the prodigal. He said, Dad, give me my inheritance. I'm out of here. I don't want to live at home anymore. I want to go do what I want to do. Well, he changed his mind when he ended up in a pig pen, out of money, had squandered all his wealth, came back. What did the father do? Welcomed him with open arms, threw a party for him. Well, there was another son. He never left. Remember, one strayed, one stayed. He stayed home. But they were both lost. And I'm telling you, people can be going to church, going through all the religious motion, but unless you understand your authority because you're a son and a citizen of the creator of the universe, you can be home and still operating in a slave mentality. Because the older son, when he saw his father throwing the party for his brother, he said, Dad, why would you do that? Why are you doing that? You never threw me a party, and I've been here my whole life here slaving for you. And here the father's saying, why are you doing that? The father said, You got to understand, everything I have is yours. Everything that's here is yours. You don't have to, you're not my slave, you're my son. The church has got to come to a better understanding of sonship and get out of that slave mentality. Look at that. Scripture also says we're fellow citizens with God's people. So I want to say we have citizenship in God's country. Philippians 3:20 says, but our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, if you're a citizen of the United States, you should know you have now dual citizenship. You're a citizen of heaven and a citizen of America. Now, as a citizen of America, you're called Americans, okay? You're named after the country that you're citizens of. So if we're citizens of heaven, we should be called Heavians. Why are we called Christians? I mean, they don't call us Bidians after the leader of our nation. They call us Americans, okay? So we shouldn't be called Christians. We should be called Heavians. At least I want you to understand that, because that's where our authority comes from. That citizenship gives us legal status, all the rights and privileges of heaven. It's God's country. There's no sickness, no poverty, no lack, no worry, because the king is in the house. And I'm not talking about a place in the sweet by and by. I'm talking about here and now. The kingdom of God is within us. Remember, we saw it. It's not something that you can say it's over there, or up there. The kingdom of God is within you. Hallelujah. Why is that important? Because we have authority, even when sickness comes. You know, my wife had a little sickness last night. Do you think she ate something got some food poisoning. And so she's watching today. But when I heard her moaning a little bit and I prayed for her as we're in bed together, you know, I didn't say, Lord Jesus, you know, Jeanette is not feeling good tonight. I didn't say that because I knew God already knew that. Instead, what I did is I took authority. I said, devil, sickness, you have no authority in this vessel of the living God. You're unauthorized to be trying to operate here. So I command you in the name of Jesus to get out. Get out of my house. Get out of this vessel of the living God. That's authority. I'm taking authority. You know, the devil knows we have authority. He's just hoping to God we don't discover it and do anything about it. But I'll never forget many years ago now. I remember it because I've got a copy of it on cassette tape. Anybody remember cassette tapes? So there was a 911 call that came in Orlando. And the guy that was working 911, he was a born-again, spirit-filled Christian. But there was a suicidal woman on the other end of the line. They were trying to get her address so they could come help her. But as he's trying to get her address, and she was saying, no, no, all of a sudden her voice changed to a guttural tone, and the devil started talking through her. You know, he comes to rob, to kill, to steal, right? And he said, you'll never get here in time because I'm going to take her life. Well, this born-again, spirit-filled believer, 911 operator, astutely answered the devil. And he said, why would you want to do that? If you do that, where will you go? Right? You know what the devil answered? Anywhere I'm allowed. Today, church, I want you to understand you've got to make a declaration of independence from all of that demonic stuff. And don't ever crack the door to give the devil any foothold in your life. You renounce it right away. You just renounce it right away. Take authority over it. I remember right here at this spot, I got done preaching one time on a Sunday morning, and I was ministering to everybody down here, and I noticed a guy coming down the center aisle with his eyes right on mine, and he didn't look happy. And so I broke away, and I approached him, and he said, I do not believe that word that I was preaching that day. I thought, okay, what's coming next? He said, thus saith the Lord, he said, in 3 months you shall die an unexpected death. Tried to put a curse on me. Well, I didn't know him. Found out later he was some kind of a self-proclaimed prophet. But Angela told you this story. That's why it came to my mind. I said, in the name of Jesus, I don't receive that. I renounce that in the name of Jesus. You take that back to the pit from where it came from in the name of Jesus. I can't remember all that I said, but I walked away. Didn't have to receive it. I'm not going to worry about that. He's unauthorized. Besides, he's in my territory, the house of God. This is where I live. To tell you the truth, and this is sobering, I found out what the guy's name was, you know, and I looked him up and kind of followed him a little bit after that. You know what? He was partially right. He just got the name wrong and the timeline wrong. In 3 years, probably to the date, he died an unexpected death. He died. So I'm not speaking that over people. I want everyone to come to repentance, that none should perish. But I'm just saying, you don't have to worry. You have to walk in your authority. And I have to keep moving here with my message. I'm going to give you another verse here. Ephesians 6:12 says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Yeah, so we've got to understand that there is a battle going on. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4 and 5 says, we have weapons of warfare. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God, the pulling down of strongholds. And then it tells us what the strongholds are right here in the mind, casting down imaginations. You know, the devil's, he comes as a roaring lion. He's a toothless lion, but he comes roaring loud to try to get you to fear in your mind. But the moment that you realize that you're under a spiritual attack, or it could be a physical attack, you take your authority and you say, it is written, thus saith the Lord, according to the word of God. I'm a child of God. You take your authority and you bring it into captivity. You know, okay. Spiritual warfare. Yeah. I'm telling you, it's amazing how it comes. The enemy in the name of Jesus. These are earthly made things. Earthly made things. You know, I got to tell you, I got done preaching here one time, and this was long enough ago I can tell you this story. I got done preaching, and we were ministering as we do for people at the altar, and we were about done, and this lady comes down and says, Pastor, could you pray for my husband? He's demon-possessed. And I got to be honest, my first thought was, a lot of husbands think that. I mean, a lot of wives think that about their husbands, you know. And so I really shrugged it off. You know, I didn't really believe that. And I said, well, yeah, I'd be happy to pray for him. I said, is he here? Bring him down. We'll pray. She said, well, he's here, but not here. He's over in Miracle Manor. We're staying here in one of your guest rooms. She said, can you come over there and pray for him? I said, well, I think so. I've got time. So I thought I'll break away and just do it, you know. Anyway, as we're walking over, we're on our way over, then all of a sudden she says, Pastor, I think I should tell you that all the other pastors that have tried to pray for him, he's beat them up. So you can imagine my imaginations, you know, had to overcome that imagination. I thought, well, okay, take that into consideration, you know. But we get over there, we knock on the door, we walk in, and to my shock, you know, this guy is humongous. You know, sitting down, he's taller than me. He's sitting at a table like in a trance, just looking across the room. And so what am I going to do? Well, I tell you what I did. I took my authority. I sat down straight across from him. I looked in his eyes. I said, in the name of Jesus, you will listen to what I have to say. And I started speaking the word of the Lord to him. You know what? He started relaxing. He just listened. And he started answering me. And God delivered him. And he got set free. Hallelujah. 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 And I'm going to tell you, sometimes you got to fake it till you make it, you know? You just got to stir up the gift inside of you. I've laid hands on people where I thought, man, I don't have the faith for this. But I just do it anyway in the name of Jesus. By his stripes, you are healed in the name of Jesus, and saw blind eyes open. And that's what I'm talking about. So the enemy, what has he done here? Oh, my goodness. Let's see. I want to impact you with some of these thoughts here. So here we go. I got it. Yeah, you got it on your phone, right? I'm going to give you the weapons of our warfare. Number one, submit to God. Say it with me. Submit to God. You know, this seems passive, but this is so powerful. You draw close to God and he'll draw close to you. You don't want to be chasing demons. I sometimes hesitate talking about stories like this because I don't want you to fear the devil and his power. You don't have to. I want you to understand, not be ignorant of his devices, so that you can be stronger and release the power of God. James 4:7 says, submit yourself therefore to God, then you can resist the devil and he will flee from you. You know, because the battle is the Lord's. So I believe just coming to church, like this is an act of submission. You're worshiping, an act of submission. And so you're submitting, you're being built up in the things of God, and you're not giving any place to the devil. You know, Jesus said, or Apostle Paul said these words, don't give place to the devil. That means don't crack the door open. You know, don't give him any inroad into your life. Don't play around with sin. Don't play around with evil. You know, my son Michael, who's all grown up now, but when he was just 7 years old, somebody in the church gave him a little ninja karate outfit because I was in that for a lot of my growing up life. And so I'll never forget, I'm sitting at the table one day and I saw little Michael come out all dressed out in this karate suit, you know. And he came up to me and stood in front of me and he said, Dad, you know how Jesus fights the devil? And I said, no, how? You know, and I thought he was going to get into a stance, you know, and start flailing around, but he just stood there. I said, what? He said, he doesn't have to lift a finger. That's the weapons of our warfare. Don't try to fight the devil on his own turf. You just learn how to submit to God and confess the word. Here's another weapon we have. Remember when the devil came to Jesus in the wilderness, Luke chapter 4? Jesus didn't try to argue with him, debate. He didn't worry about what he said. He just said, look, devil, it is written. It is written. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God, and only him shalt thou serve. It is written. And he came against his lies. And we have to have that same authority to do the same thing. You know, I remember out on the streets one time, you know, we like to go out on the streets of our city. Thank God for our Hunger's In outreach on Monday nights and Wednesday afternoons for food and clothing distribution. But, you know, we're allowed to go out any night on 14th Street, which is, you know, the zoned area where a lot of stuff goes on. And we were out there walking. I was walking with a partner here, one of the deacons here in the church. And I'll never forget, it was late, it's probably midnight, we're late walking out there. And this young muscular guy was walking towards us, and as he was coming by, I just turned to, hey man, what's happening? I was just gonna strike up a conversation because we meant to pray with him. And as soon as I did, he jumped into a karate stance and started flailing around in front of me using foul language. He'd, come here, you guys. I'm going to take you apart, you know, a lot of bad words. But he said, I've been looking for somebody to hurt tonight, and you're it. And he's just flailing around right in front of my face. Well, he was talking loud and nonstop. I was waiting for him to take a breath so I could say something. And as soon as he took a breath, my partner, he said something. It was his first time out on the street with me. That was Gary Lee McKinney. Some of you remember him going back. And he looked at him and said, what would you say if I told you that I loved you? And I'm thinking to myself, now we're really dead. Yeah. But you know what? It was God. You know, the Bible says God is love. I mean, that was the standard to be raised up in the midst of, in the face of hatred, was love. You know what that young man just relaxed. He said, I'd say, that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. He said, my dad and I just blew into town, and he's passed out in a hotel room down the road here. I was just going to a bar to drink myself to sleep and find a woman. And he said, and you guys stop me and want to talk? He said, I think that's pretty cool. I'm going, wow. Wow, the power of love and the power of the authority of God in your life. We don't have to worry about these things, church. We have the authority of God and we have his word. It's in our heart. We can bring it out of our lips. Isaiah 59, 19, when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall raise up a standard against him. And it can be that simple. Just, I love you. Revelation 12, 11 says, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And this was the people around the throne in heaven. They overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. You know, I think next week I'm feeling led to bring you the new normal, that we have the power of our testimony, the power that comes from your testimony. I want to bring you that. Let me give you another weapon. Use the name of Jesus. Use the name of Jesus. The last words of Jesus before he ascended into heaven, he said, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they shall cast out devils. In the name of Jesus, it says, every knee shall bow from things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth. Focus on Jesus, not on warfare with the enemy. Don't try to get into battle with the devil. You just focus on Jesus. Use the name of Jesus and see what God will do. Jeanette and I were ministering at a big renewal conference in Kitchener, Ontario, Canada one time. And I'll never forget this. It was so real about the power of the name of Jesus. Because at the end of our ministry, we had an altar call and everybody came down to receive prayer. And there was one lady, and this was a Mennonite community, and she was just a real mild-mannered lady, dressed real conservative, and I went to pray for her, and the power of God hit her before I touched her, and she went down, and she was just real stiff like this. And so we knelt down beside her and started praying for her. She wouldn't answer me, and finally I got her to talk a little bit to answer me. She had her eyes closed. And then I said, look, just say thank you, Jesus. And she said, thank you, J. She couldn't say Jesus. Say, I love you, Jesus. I love you, J. She couldn't say Jesus. I said, okay, now I know what we're working with. Demonic stronghold. So I just started saying, in the name of Jesus, I take authority over you, devil. In the name of Jesus, you have no authority to remain inside this vessel of God. Come out in the name of Jesus. I like to say it loud, but the devil's hard of hearing sometime, you know, that's all. But I tell you what, she got set free. She couldn't even say the word Jesus. So bound up. The devil knows that you have authority. What I want to know is, do you know? It's time to make your declaration of independence. You're no longer going to get played by the devil. That partnership is over. I'm no longer going to believe his lies, because greater is he that is in me than he. That's what I'm saying today. We can celebrate the Declaration of Independence that was the birthday of our nation, but we got to understand in the spirit realm that we have that same authority over the darkness in this world. I'm going to close on this one. Identify the enemy. I don't have time to tell you the whole story, but Jesus healed a man that was demon-possessed in this portion of Scripture. And the Pharisees said, oh, he's casting out devils by the power of Beelzebub, by the devil. And Jesus said, no, that's not possible. And that would be a kingdom divided. The devil casting out himself? No. He said, I'm casting out devils by the Spirit of God, because the kingdom of God has come. And I'm declaring that today. The kingdom of God has come. And so he says, what you want to do is identify the strong man and bind him. Bind the strong man. You know, I had, I was ministering to some people in another church. It's a large church. And I got done preaching. People came down to the altar, and I came off the platform, and before I could get to the first person, see, this spiritual warfare, I'm telling you, before I could get to the first person, you know, I didn't even touch her. This lady goes down hard, the first one in the row, and before the catchers got there, and it was a concrete floor, and she hit the floor hard. And, you know, when she did, her eyes flew open. And at the top of her voice, she said, "You blankety blank, blank, blank." And she called me some very bad words. "You let me fall." Well, what would you do? I tell you what I did. I jumped on that foul spirit. I said, "You've jumped down to her, got in her face. You foul spirit of hurt and bitterness and whatever came to my heart, and anger and iniquity, come out of her in the name of Jesus." You know what happened? She got free. I thought, and I'm going, "Wow, I hope she's not hurt." She got up. She was not hurt. She started dancing around. She said, "I can't believe it." She said, "Pastor, she wanted to talk to me." I said, "Look, I got to pray for the others." She danced and carried on the whole time, maybe an hour. I'm praying for everybody else. Then she told me, she said, "I didn't know I was all bound up with the spirit until you cast it out." She said, "And then I got free from the things I was going to ask you to pray over. I got healed of everything else because I got free from that bondage of that spirit in me." Hallelujah. We need to make a declaration of independence. You know why? Because we live in the kingdom of God, and all the rights and privileges of law-abiding citizens in this kingdom. Are you a law-abiding citizen? You're in church today. You're a law-abiding citizen. You have all the rights and privileges of the kingdom of God. Stand with me if you would. Stand with me if you would. It's amazing to me how this thing has been malfunctioning, you know, because it's just like the devil, you know, who doesn't want this to be preached, doesn't want this information to come out. But I'm giving you the word of God. Because the fact is, last week I was talking about you have within you the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5, love, joy, peace. You have all the fruit of the Holy Spirit in you. But see, the fruit of the evil spirits are alive in the world today as well. And they're trying to manifest in your life too. Depression, discouragement, bitterness, anger. You know, even suicide is a spirit that comes and tells you your life isn't worth anything. And all those things, you have authority over them. The Spirit of God is greater in you than this spirit of the world. I want you to put your hand on your heart right now. We're going to awaken the Spirit of God. If Jesus is asleep in your boat, we're going to wake him up because we're in the middle of a storm. Father, we thank you that you've given us authority over all the powers of the enemy. Lord, in the midst of this dark world, I pray, Lord, let the new normal for the church be that we know who we are. We're citizens in the kingdom of God, Lord, with all the rights and the authority that you've given us. Father, I pray, awaken us, Lord, to that understanding. Lord, give us the boldness and the courage to take authority over sickness, to take authority over fear, to take authority over anxiety in the name of Jesus, to take authority over anger in the name of Jesus, whatever it is we have need of, to take authority over sickness, every diagnosis that the doctors have put on us. Father, we believe that Dr. Jesus has more authority. So we speak to those things, Lord, with authority, and we take a declaration that we're going to be independent. We're not going to live anymore in bondage to that partnership, but we're rising up, Father, total dependence on the Lord. Our true independence is dependence on you in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. If that's your heart today, raise your hand, raise your hand. That's my heart. That's my desire. Hallelujah. I'm going to just lead you in a prayer today. If you're not sure today of where you stand with Christ, you know, the first step is a declaration of independence from sin. And you can do that. The Bible's just so clear. It's so easy. If you'll believe in your heart that Christ died on the cross for your sins and confess with your mouth that you desire to make him Savior, to receive his salvation, to make him Savior and Lord, then you shall be saved. You say, well, how can it be that easy? Because Jesus did all the heavy lifting. He died in your place. We deserve death, but he died so we could live. He overcame the enemy so that we could follow suit. So let's pray this. Let's all pray it together. And if you are praying it for the first time or the first time in a long time, then when we dismiss, I'm asking you, just come to the altar and tell one of my altar teams that you made a decision for Jesus today. I'm going to give you a book that I've written that'll help you in moving forward. It's called Releasing the Power That's Within You. How to release that power. We're going to give you a Bible if you need a Bible. But let's all pray it together. Are you ready? Say, Lord Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross. I believe that you are God. You came to forgive sins. Today, Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Fill me with your Spirit. Empower me to live for you from this day forward. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's take it from the chorus, I run to the Father. I love these words. That's what we're doing. Even if you're a prodigal coming back. Here we go. Can we take it from the chorus? Run to the Father.
Oh, run to the Father. I fall into grace.
Yes, Lord.
I'm done with the hiding. No reason to wait. A heart needs a surgeon. A soul needs a friend. So I run to the Father again. Father, I fall into grace. I'm done with the hiding. No reason to wait. My heart needs a surgeon. My soul needs a friend. So I run to the Father again and again, again and again.
That declaration right now. We're making a declaration of independence. No reason to wait. Father, we're going to separate ourselves from the spirit of this world. Transform us, oh God. Transform our thinking, oh God. We'll no longer be conformed to the world. It's a new normal for the believers. So just say this with me. Say, Lord Jesus, today I declare I have authority. Through the name of Jesus, through the blood of Jesus, through the word of God, I will name it. I will claim it. If it's in your word, it's truth, and I'll walk in it. I have authority over all the power of the enemy. From this time forward, I declare I'm free. I'm free. I'm free. Let's thank the Lord for true freedom. True freedom. True freedom is dependence on God. And Father, we do submit ourselves to you daily. Oh God, let us get up every day and just say, Father, I submit myself to you. I submit myself to you and I walk in authority for this day in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.